Good morning, everyone. And welcome to our Harvest worship service. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So let us open our Harvest Thanksgiving service with that famous Harvest hymn, hymn number 51. Come, you thankful people, come. I'd like to invite Emma Fleming, our youth family and outreach worker, to come forward and lead us in our opening prayer.
Let us pray. God of harvest, at this harvest time, we thank you for the world which you have created and for all its beauty and colour. We thank you for the trees and flowers that make our world a better place to be and for all the blessings you give to us each day. For food, for family and friends, our homes, and your amazing gift of life given to us in your Son, Jesus. We give thanks for all that is good in your creation and all who bring in the harvest of the land. At this special Thanksgiving time of the year, we pray for all who work hard so that we have food to eat and share. We especially remember the farmers, both in this country and overseas, who work with animals and crops in all weathers and who are thankful to have crops to harvest, giving us food to eat. We thank God too for all the machinery that he has blessed the farmers with to make their job easier when working the land. We think especially of the combine harvesters and tractors which plough the land, bale the hay, and collect the crops. And as we give thanks for all these blessings, we must be always mindful to share God's good gifts and his love with those who have less than us. We ask this, our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning, if you remember last month, we had our birthday blessings box for September. And it's hard to believe we are in October and we are giving thanks today for those people who celebrate their birthdays in October. So, if you have a birthday in October, I want you to put your hands up. And the children can get... Oh, that's good. That's great. I see hands. Wonderful. Perfect. Yes. Don't be shy. That's great. If you have a birthday in October, you will be able to get a gift from our wonderful big box of blessings, okay? The children will receive their gift when they go out past the door to head to their children and youth programs for tots with a jigsaw and then blast. So anybody that has birthday and is a child or a young person can get a gift going out to toddle along, or toddle along, that's a Thursday, to tots on all those groups I've just mentioned. Or we can, as an adult, you will receive your gift at the end of the service at the back door at the vestibule, and I will be there with the box. So make sure you get your gift. No matter what age you are, there's a gift for everybody in this box. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Emma. And can't wait to February, as I've told people before. You can work out why. Anyway, I want to thank the choir for rehearsing for our anthem this morning, and they're going to now bring to us their anthem, I Am a Small Part of the World.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to the choir for that lovely anthem of how we can help one another in this world as each plays our part in that world for God and for his glory. We turn now to our first scripture reading, which can be found in the book of Genesis. So it's right at the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 9, verses 13 to 16. This can be found on page 10 of the Bibles in the pews. Genesis chapter 9, starting at verse 13. I am putting my bow in the clouds. It will be the sign of my covenant with the world. Whenever I cover the sky with clouds and the rainbow appears, I will remember my promise to you and to all the animals that a flood will never again destroy all living things. When the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between me and all living things on earth. This is the sign of the promise which I am making to all living beings. And we thank God for that wonderful promise that we celebrate today as we gather together to give thanks for our harvest. So I wonder if the children would like to come to the front. I have some things I'd like to share with you this morning. Great to have you out this morning. And I know that if your birthday's in October, which ones were birthdays in October? Make sure you get a present from Emma now on the way out to Jigsaw. But everybody this morning is going to get a present. If we could squidgy up nice and tight just so we can get the last Lily and move up a wee bit tight.
I saw you in assembly one time.
You saw me in assembly one time?
Yeah.
Can you remember my name?
Yes.
What is it?
Reverend Henry.
Reverend Nelson, that's right. Well done. Now, move over. Over here, they call me Jane. You can call me Jane. All right. You get in? Is that your baby sister?
No, this is Brahmanada Seth Conley.
And this is Mrs. Black. And that's Mrs. Black, who's your teacher. There we go. Isn't that great? Well, it's lovely to have you here this morning, and I have a present for everyone. So would you all like to take a little box? Okay. Now, the decorations around the church are lovely, aren't they? Did you notice the windows? And did you notice something different about the windows this year? They have different colours, that's right, Caitlin. Each window has a different colour. And so the people who've been decorating the windows were each given a colour that represents the colour of the rainbow. And Katie, you have a lovely jumper there, almost like a rainbow. You're very welcome. There we go. And so this morning, my reading that I read was all about how God gave us the lovely rainbow to remind us that he was never going to flood the earth again. Josh, we need to get you a little box too, don't we? There we go. So if you would like to open your box, you can just tear it open, it's fine. You don't have to open it if you don't want. So inside your box, I've got some little symbols in there that we're going to use for our children's talk, and it's all about the rainbow. Now, right, if you could look this way. It's the wrong thing to give kids something while you want them to look somewhere else. How many people read books for their homework? Have to read for their homework? Lots and lots of people. Now, how would you read this book? What's wrong with this book? There's no writing in it. There are no words in it. And this is called the Wordless Book. And it's got different colours in it, just like we have the different colours of the rainbow. And this wordless book tells us the most amazing story. So the first page is black. So I want you to look in your little box and find the item in your box that is black and hold it up. You found black, Archie. And what shape is that? What's that look like?
I found black.
It's probably my drawing. What does that look like?
Heart.
a heart. So it's a black heart. And that black heart reminds us of the sin that's in the world, the darkness that's in this world today, that causes so much sorrow and pain and suffering. But more than that, the sin that's in this world that separates us from God and his love for us. Because God is holy and just and true, and he cannot tolerate sin. So we are separated from God because of the sin that's in the world and the sin that has a presence in our lives. And that's very sad because the outcome is that we will be totally separated from God forever. But then we come to the next page, because that's only the beginning of the story. The next page has red. So what have we got, Caitlin?
A cross.
A cross. A red cross. You got a red cross, Archie? Josh, you got a red cross? Brilliant. So the red cross reminds us that God, in his love for us, sent his son Jesus into the world to die on the cross for our sin. That's amazing. Jesus had never done anything wrong, but he came into the world, he lived the perfect life, and he died on the cross at Calvary and shed his blood for the sins of the world. That's a wonderful thing to do, isn't it? To sacrifice yourself for the sake of others. And Jesus sacrificed himself for the sake of the whole world. And that made a huge difference to our world. Because then the next page in our story is this. And what shape have you got for that? A white heart. And when we trust and believe in Jesus, and when we ask him to forgive our sin, because of his blood shed on the cross, he is able to wash our sin white as snow. And that's why we have this white page. That when we trust and believe in Jesus, and when we seek forgiveness for all our wrongdoing from him, and trust in him and seek to follow him, then he washes our sin away, and we have pure white hearts. Not because of us, but because of Jesus and what he's done for us. And that's amazing, isn't it? That's wonderful to think that that has happened for us. But that's not the end of the story, because there's another page in the story. What have we got here, Evie? What's the yellow shape? A crown. That's right, a crown. And when we trust in Jesus and we become a follower of his, then he promises that one day when we go to be with God forever and ever as one of Jesus' friends, he will give us a crown of righteousness and we will live eternally with God. So Jesus just didn't save us in this world from our sins, but he has saved us for all eternity when we trust in him. And that's a wonderful, wonderful story. But it's not the end, because you've still got another little emblem, don't you? A green leaf. And the book, the wordless book, is backed in green. Because when we become Christians and followers of Jesus, and when we know that our sins are forgiven and that we will get a crown of righteousness when we go to heaven, we also have to live in this world today, don't we? And we have to live and grow as followers of Jesus, as people who seek to live for him and who seek to live out his life here in this world, showing his love and his peace, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his justice, and his righteousness in this world. And that's what we're called to do as Christians, to show that to the rest of the world so that they too may come to have all that we have through faith in Christ. So thank you so much for listening to me. You can put your little emblems back into your box. And we're going to sing a song that reminds us once again of God's love for us and how he has created this wonderful world by singing hymn number 36, Who Put the Colours in the Rainbow? Colors in the rainbow,
who put the salt into the sea?
Now we come to our notices, and I would like this opportunity to thank everybody for their hard work in preparing for our harvest services this morning. I'd like to thank Adele and her team of fabulous flower arrangers and church decorators. As we've said, the theme this morning is the colours of the rainbow, celebrating the beauty and the diversity of the world that God has made. And I thank those who have done the window decorations and the porch and the front, the church and in the back, and everywhere you go, up the stairs and all, is a lovely reflection of the wonder and the beauty of this wonderful world that God has given us. So we thank each and everyone who has contributed to that. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank John and the choir for preparing their harvest anthem, and also for leading us in our harvest hymns this morning, and for all that they do for us week in and week out. This evening we're going to have our harvest evening Thanksgiving service, which will be followed by a harvest supper. And so I'd like to thank Audrey and her team of willing volunteers who have prepared our harvest supper this evening. So thank you very much indeed. And I do encourage each and every one of you to come out again this evening to thank God on this day of Thanksgiving for all his goodness to us, and to share together over food and conversation, over word and song and prayer. I'm also delighted that Daryl Simpson is, well, he was singing in the choir this morning, but as you know, Daryl has quite a number of irons in the fire, and one of them is a concert that he's putting on in the library this afternoon at 3, and it's a combined choir from a choir in County Cavan called Hard Times with the Oma Community Youth Choir here in Oma, and they're putting on a concert this afternoon at 3 o'clock. But the choir are going to come at the end of our service and give us a little snippet of what's in store for anyone who's free to go over to the concert at 3. I went to the rehearsal and they were singing the various pieces that we'll be singing. And they sang this song that reminded me of my youth as a teenager. It's a Cyndi Lauper song. It has the title True Colours. Some of you who are my age or older might remember it. And I just thought it was very appropriate for our theme, with the rainbow theme of our windows, and also for the words of the song that encourage people to allow themselves to reflect the goodness of God in their lives, and to show forth their true colours. And then this week on Thursday, I realised that it was World Mental Health Day, and how so many people suffer from sadness and depression and darkness. And again, I thought this song would help people as they reflect on the light and the goodness that is in this world. And it made me think of Thursday was the 10th of October, 10-10. John chapter 10 says, "The thief comes in the night to steal and destroy. But I come, Jesus Christ, to bring life in all its fullness." So we celebrate today life in all its fullness through our songs and through our worship. This coming Thursday starts our Elijah Bible study series at 10:30 in Audrey's home, and then 7:30 in the church hall. Old and newcomers to the Bible study would be very welcome indeed. 10:30 in Audrey's home or 7:30 here in the halls. Please do put it in your diary and come along and help us as Christians together to work out what it means to live in the world today and to be people of God as we study the wonderful life of Elijah the prophet. And then thanks again to John and his connections in England with the Denham Camerata, have I pronounced that right? Which is a small choir and orchestra who are coming over at the end of October to host a series of events here in Oma. They're coming to First Oma Church on the morning, Sunday morning at 11:30, and they will be leading us in worship, and also then later on in the week we'll be putting a concert on in St. Columba's Church, Wednesday the 30th of October at 7:30. It promises to be a beautiful evening of wonderful music and song So if you would like a ticket, you can speak to John or to Margaret Mitchell, for the funds for the concert are going to the NSPCC, and also to Cancer Research. So Lorraine Wilson has tickets as well. So either John for tickets, Margaret or Lorraine. And Fina. And yes, and Fina. And anybody who you know that's in Cancer Research or supports NSPCC, they'll get you a ticket. And it'll be a lovely evening together. So we give thanks for all this wonderful talent that we have in our church and in our community. And we come now before God with our prayers for our world. Let us pray. Almighty God, creator of the world and Lord over time and space, we bow before you this morning in humble adoration and in gratitude for the wonderful gift of life that you have bestowed upon this earth. We are so aware of the fragility of life and how easily it can be damaged and destroyed. We think of rainforests decimated because of overexploitation. We think of polar caps melting because of global warming. We think of oceans polluted by chemicals and plastics, and the devastating consequences of all of this on plant and animal and human life. We pray, Lord, for all who work to protect the environment, natural habitats and wildlife in this country and across this world. May their work bear abundant fruit, and may the natural world flourish across the earth once again, just as you created it to be. We think too, O Lord, of the fragility of human life and how it too can be so easily destroyed. We pray for peoples in this world who struggle daily to have enough food for their families to eat, whilst our supermarket shelves and kitchen cupboards are stocked to overflowing. We pray for relief organisations who not only respond with emergency aid in times of crisis, but who work tirelessly educating and training people in sustainable farming techniques and establishing cooperatives to enable communities in these vulnerable places of the world to survive and thrive. We think of people who live in areas of conflict and war, whose homes and livelihoods have been destroyed, and whose families have been devastated by hatred, violence, and war. We pray, O Lord, for peaceful resolution and for healing of the nations and for restoration between individuals, families, communities, and nations. We think of the vulnerable within our own communities whose lives are fragile and in need of protection. We pray for women in pregnancy crisis situations and for the life of the unborn child, that wise decisions will be made to protect and support both lives. We think of those with mental health issues, that they will get the help they need in their time of crisis. We think of those coping with long-term disabilities and those facing terminal illness. We pray that all may receive the care and the support that they need from family, from medical profession, and from our wider community and church community. But as we think of the fragility of life, O Lord, we also give thanks for the strength, the tenacity and the resilience of life in overcoming difficulty and strife. And we marvel that the things which appear most fragile are often the strongest of all. We think of our Saviour Jesus, stripped, naked, beaten, and nailed on a cross to die, weak, humiliated, rejected. And yet in power you raised him from death to life and gave him the right to forgive sin and to grant everlasting life to all who turn to him. Thank you that by his example we see that goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. And that victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Amen. So we come once again to sing before our great God and to give thanks for the beauty of this earth. Hymn number 20. Our second scripture reading is from the New Testament, the Gospel of John, which we read for us by Bob Henry. It's John chapter 4, verses 27 to 38. And this can be found on page 121 of the Bibles in the pews. John chapter 4, starting at verse 27. Let us listen to God's word to us this morning.
At that moment, Jesus' disciples returned, and they were greatly surprised to find him talking with a woman. But none of them said to her, "What do you want?" or asked him, "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar, went back into the town, and said to the people there, "Come and see the man who told me everything I have ever done. Could he be the Messiah?" So they left the town and went to Jesus. In the meantime, the disciples were begging Jesus, "Teacher, have something to eat." But he answered, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." So the disciples started asking among themselves, "Could somebody have brought him food?" "My food," Jesus said to them, "is to obey the will of the one who sent me and to finish the work he gave me to do. You have a saying, 4 more months and then the harvest. But I tell you, take a good look at the fields. The crops are now ripe and ready to be harvested. The man who reaps the harvest is being paid and gathers the crops for eternal life. So the man who sows and the man who reaps will be glad together. The saying is true. One man sows, another man reaps. I have sent you to reap a harvest in a field where you did not work. Others work there, and you profit from their work.
Thank you very much, Bob, for that reading from God's Word. I'm sure that you have all heard the expression, hidden in plain sight. So I wonder if you're able to see what is hidden in plain sight on the screen. Anybody spot it? A frog, that's right. It's hidden in plain sight. What about this next picture? A man sitting on his hands and knees. On the right. Yeah, but here's the way in. See the log along the bottom? There's a man hiding in the trees. He's camouflaged and he is hard to see. But he is hiding in plain sight. We just can't see him very well because he's camouflaged, but he's there. So the passage which Bob read for us is one about things being hidden in plain sight. This passage comes right in the middle of that famous story of Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. This section of chapter 4 is often overlooked because it doesn't really appear to flow with the story. It's all about reaping a harvest and appears to have nothing at all to do with Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman. You could almost take brackets, put it round those verses and just read over, and it would make perfect sense. But why is this passage here? Well, first of all, we have to look a little bit at the bit of John chapter 4 that we didn't read, which is the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. Now, most of you will know this story. You've probably encountered it in Sunday school and in sermons before. But just to give a little recap so everybody is on the same page, so to speak. Jesus had been ministering in Judea, and he and his disciples were heading back to Galilee, so from one part of Israel to another part of Israel. And Jesus decided to take a shortcut through the country of Samaria. And Samaria was split off from Israel. They were a separate nation. They had different beliefs than the Jewish beliefs. They didn't believe you had to go to the temple in Jerusalem to worship God, but instead you should go and worship God on Mount Gerizim. They did have part of the scriptures. In those days, they read the first five books, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and that was their holy scriptures. Whereas, as we know, the Jewish nation had all of the books that we would say are now in the Old Testament in the Bible. So there's a difference in their scriptures. There was enmity between these two people. You'll know the story of the good Samaritan that Jesus went on to tell the parable. And there's tension between these two communities. They didn't get on too well together. So why would Jesus take this shortcut through Samaria? Because of this encounter that he wanted to have with this woman. Jesus was walking through Samaria and he came to a well. It was Jacob's well. Jacob, their ancestor, who had dug that well out. And so Jesus and his disciples reached the well. And they were hungry, and they were hot, and they were thirsty. And the well was located at the edge of the town of Sychar. And so the disciples decided they would go into Sychar and get some food and leave Jesus resting by the well, because he had had a very busy ministry in Judea. And while he was resting and while they were out shopping, a Samaritan woman came to the well to draw some water. And Jesus engaged her in conversation. And this was shocking on a number of fronts. First, that he would speak to a woman who was on her own, because Jewish men did not speak to women outside in the public ever at all, and certainly not when they were on their own and the woman was on their own. And also he was speaking to her because she was a Samaritan, one outside of the Jewish faith. But Jesus engaged her in conversation, initially talking about water, but eventually talking about the living water that he has to offer to all who trust in him. And he offered her this gift of living water. And he declared to her, a Samaritan woman, not one of his disciples, not one of the religious leaders in the temple, but to a Samaritan woman at a well on the edge of Sychar, that he was indeed the Messiah. And that this life-giving water that he had to give was offered to her. And she responded. Even though she was a woman of ill repute, and I'm sure you'll know that she had five husbands, and the man that she was currently living with wasn't her husband, so she wasn't by any means a perfect person, far, far from it. And yet Jesus offered her this gift of eternal life if she would seek to follow him. So it's at that point in the story of the Samaritan woman and Jesus' encounter that we get this little passage about the harvest. What is it all about? Jesus' disciples returned from Sychar with the food and were shocked to see Jesus talking with this woman, with this Samaritan. They wondered, what on earth is he doing? Why would he speak to her? And so they wondered. But they didn't ask him, because they knew by now that when they asked Jesus something, he would give them an answer beyond their wildest imaginings. And so instead, they thought, let's just distract him and see if he wants some lunch. So they said, would you like some lunch, Jesus? Have something to eat. You're hungry. And then he comes to the point of his harvest message. And it's a message that is hidden in plain sight. This message that Jesus shares with his disciples is the reason why he went to Samaria. It's the reason why he had the encounter with the Samaritan woman. It's the reason why he came into this world. And he seeks to explain it to them. First of all, he says, I have food you know nothing about. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus' food was to do the will of the Father. His motivation and his drive in life was not for the physical things in this life, for food and drink, for rest and relaxation, for friendship and popularity. His motivation, his drive, and his reason for living was to do the will of the Father. Jesus came into the world to carry out the Father's will. And that meant healing the sick, freeing the captive, welcoming the stranger, reaching out to the sinner, demonstrating God's love in action, announcing the kingdom of God, calling people to repentance, forgiving the sinner, declaring the good news of the gospel to each and every person he met, whether they were Jew or Samaritan, whether they were male or female, whether they were rich or poor, whether they were religious or an outcast. Nothing stopped him from doing the will of God, his Father. And if you gathered here today to worship are a follower of Jesus Christ, then that should be your motivation too. to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, with all people, with people who are like us, with people who are not like us, and to display God's good news in Jesus in the way in which we live our lives, to be an example to all people everywhere, and not just for the select few who gather in an inner friendship circle in whatever churches people gather in. When Andrew met Jesus, he couldn't wait to go and share the good news with his brother Simon Peter. When Paul met Jesus, he couldn't wait to share the good news with the people he had previously thought beneath him, the Gentile nations. When Patrick, the shepherd boy, came to faith in Jesus Christ as his Saviour, he couldn't wait to return to Ireland to share the good news with the very people who had held him captive as a young boy. Their food, their motivation, their deepest desire was to share the good news with others. The good news that Jesus saves us from a sinful world. The good news that Jesus cares and loves for us and longs to offer freedom and forgiveness of sin through faith in him. And we are called to do the same, to share this good news. Jesus' motivation in life, his food for the mission that God had sent him to do. And that mission was happening there and then on the edge of Sychar by the well at Jacob's well. And he said to his disciples, and he says to us here today, don't you have a saying, it is still 4 months to harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are white unto harvest. Open your eyes and look to the fields. They are white unto harvest. So Jesus used this harvest analogy. Maybe that time of year there were still 4 months to go. The fields were not ready to be harvested. And so he was saying, you have to wait 4 months for the harvest to come. You farmers know all about waiting for the harvest. There's not a week that goes by in spring and summer that you don't have an eye on those crops growing in the field, checking their development, looking at the weather forecasts, hoping and praying the crops will ripen in the 4 months to harvest season. It's what you do. It's your reason for looking at the weather forecasts avidly day by day, looking to see if there's going to be a dry spell to reap the harvest and gather it in. But you're thinking about that day. You've still to wait until the harvest time. But Jesus tells his disciples that there's something hidden in plain sight before their very eyes. The fields are already white unto harvest. He wasn't talking about the corn growing in the field beside Jacob's well. He was talking about the Samaritans who were coming out of the town of Sychar in their flowing white robes to find out if what this woman had said was true, that Jesus was their long-awaited Messiah. The harvest was ready. Not a harvest field of corn, but a harvest field of souls. But it was not the harvest the disciples were expecting. Really? The Samaritans? Responding to the good news? Surely not. And yet, as they opened their eyes and looked, they saw the Samaritans coming to that well, seeking to know if what they had heard was true. They asked Jesus and the disciples to stay, not just for an hour, not just for overnight, but for 2 days, so that they could fully understand and fully appreciate the good news of the coming of Jesus Christ. But the disciples couldn't see what was hidden in plain sight. We're a bit like that too, aren't we? We can think of our friends. Sure, they wouldn't be interested in hearing about Jesus. They have their lives sorted out. They've got a good job, a lovely family, 2 holidays a year. They wouldn't be interested in hearing about Jesus. But hidden in plain sight could be a friend of yours who is longing for deeper meaning in their lives than the one this world has to offer. But sometimes we're too blind to see what is hidden in plain sight. Or maybe we think, well, sure, they wouldn't be interested in hearing the good news of the gospel. They're more interested in getting drunk and doing drugs on a Friday night. They're too interested in having a good time and enjoying the pleasures of the world. And yet, hidden in plain sight is a person longing for significance, for belonging, of feeling valued by others. And what better news could you bring to them than that Jesus Christ loves them, died for them, and has an eternity prepared for them? Wherever they are, whatever they've been doing, however they've lived their lives, that is the good news we have for the gospel. And there are people in our world today who are ripe unto harvest, or who are white unto harvest. And Jesus is asking us to open our eyes to see those fields that are ripe and to bring people into a loving and living relationship with Jesus Christ and welcome them into this kingdom that we as Christians enjoy. But I hear you say, I'm no evangelist, Jane. That's not within my gifting. Maybe it isn't. But we all have a part to play as believers in Jesus, as disciples of his. How do I know that? Because Jesus tells us. He told the disciples that in verses 36 to 37. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. Now, you all know I don't know much about farming, but I know that at harvest time, farmers hire out other people to help them bring in their harvest. Maybe not as many as they used to in years gone by when the labouring was manual. Now they employ people who have fancy combine harvesters and special baling equipment. But at the end of the harvest, those who help to bring the harvest in get paid, as does the farmer who sowed the seed in spring. The wages don't come in until the harvest does. That's why the farmers so anxiously look at the weather, because they need the harvest to come in order to be able to meet their outgoings. What's planted in spring does not produce results until the autumn. But everyone is involved in the process, and they're each entitled to their share in the profits. So it is with the harvesting of souls. Some may be involved in the planting of the seed, sharing the gospel with a child in Sunday school, a minister sharing a word beside a sick bed or at the death of a loved one, a Christian friend sharing with a friend in need, an evangelist with that special gift of reaching out to those who are lost. The person may not respond in faith there and then. The seed is planted. It could be years and decades before that seed comes to fruition and the person comes to faith in Christ, perhaps through the words of a preacher or an evangelist, and they get to be the ones that have the great reward and say, oh, so many people came to faith through the words that I said. But we are to remember that salvation comes through Jesus Christ, and he is the one who brings people to salvation. We are but his instruments, and each one of us has our part to play, whether we're the sower of the seed, whether we're the person who nurtures the young plant, whether we're the person who brings someone to faith in Christ. We all are part of that story, and we are all part of the joy of the harvest when another person comes to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. So what is your role in bringing in the harvest for God's kingdom here in Oma? We each have our part to play. We may never see the results of our labours, but we're encouraged to not give up and become weary in doing good, because at the right time, the Lord will bring the harvest in. So let us not give up hope, but keep on sowing those seeds, nurturing people in faith, and seeking to be people who reveal Jesus Christ to the world, so that all can see what is hidden in plain sight, that God loves them and cares for them and longs for them to return to him. And we rejoice that we do not do this task on our own. And Jesus reminded the disciples as well that they are reaping in a field that they had not worked for. Others had done the hard work. They reap the benefits. Who was he referring to? The Samaritan woman whom they had ignored and yet who had shared the gospel? Maybe he was referring to John the Baptist, who might have passed through that way on his ministry. Maybe the words of the prophets that had been sown in the hearts of these people down through the generations. Maybe the words that they read in their holy scriptures, just 5 books, but enough to convey the truth of God and his love for humanity. Whatever it was, and through whatever means the seed was planted, God had worked in those people's hearts long before Jesus and his disciples arrived at the well. The disciples couldn't see what was hidden in plain sight, that the good news of the gospel of Jesus was open not just to Jews, but to Samaritans and to Gentiles and to the entire world. Their calling and our calling is to be part of the harvest, to open our eyes and to play our part in seeing what is hidden in plain sight, so that others will come to know the joy of loving and serving Jesus. And we do this not for our own glory or for the glory of this congregation, but for the glory of God and for his Saviour, Jesus Christ, who alone is Lord of the harvest. Amen. Your offerings to God will be received. Lord of the harvest, we thank you for the abundance of good things that you give to us in this life. And we pray, O Lord, that you would take these, our offerings, and that you would use them and us for the advancement of your kingdom and to bring in your eternal harvest. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let us stand to sing our final hymn, 549, Lord of Creation. Remember, harvest service this evening at 7. The church will be open this afternoon if you'd like to take some time in the quiet to come and reflect upon the beauty of the decorations and a reminder of God's goodness to us. And then after this song, Daryl's choir will come and sing for us. So first of all, we stand together to worship the Lord of Creation, hymn 549. And now we'll say the words of the grace together, and the choir will then lead us in their song, True Colours. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Daryl, as I said to the congregation, please be seated, congregation. They're so used to going out at this point. As I said to the congregation, Daryl, earlier today, that I had the privilege of attending one of your rehearsals, and you were going to sing one song, and I just changed it to the True Colours one. So I'm hoping I've told them that's what you're singing. So yes, that is the one. Because as you can see, as the choir can see, first of all, warm welcome to you here at First Oma. As you can see, we are decorated ready for harvest, and each of the windows have a decoration that reflects the colours of the rainbow. And when I was listening to you practice True Colours, which I remember when it came out in the 1980s, also talks about the true colours that we have within ourselves and how they're beautiful like the rainbow. So, Daryl, over to you.